2, Luke chapter 2, but join me first, please, in Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, Christmas season is always, at least in my mind, maybe not for every preacher, but in my mind, always a challenge. We know the passages, Matthew 1, Luke 2, we know a lot of the prophetic passages from the Old Testament. What do you preach? It's like, will they get tired if I preach the same message again? I mean, after you know, we've been here, this will be, as I recall, this would be my 12th Christmas message with you folks. All right, so it's like, okay, well, most of you forget well, thank you. Anyways, and so, you know, something from several years ago, great. But there is a reality, and let me remind ourselves. Even Isaiah recognized that in the learning process of gleaning truth, we need to be reminded, and we need to step and build on what we've learned again and be told again. Isn't that true of all of us, even adults? Stop and consider. I think I picked on myself the other day. I was telling Pastor Caleb, okay, I'm not practicing the piano as much as I used to. There were days where you'd spend, you know, or weeks where you'd spend hours practicing, getting ready for whatever performance or whatever. Well, that's not what God has put in my life right now. So the fingers aren't quite as nimber. Now that's two words in one. There you go. Nimber. All right. That's nimble and limber. All right. There we go. That was my Norwegian tongue getting wrapped around the eye tooth and I couldn't see what I was saying. There we go. Okay. So anyways, there's some of that reality, and so sometimes to remind ourselves, one of my favorite stories is of James Galloway, a phenomenal professional flutist, played for years, and as he got so used to all the concert work that he did, he one day got out his flute to practice, and he started doing his scales, and he was stumbling. He was like, oh, I am losing the foundation. I'm losing the most important parts of what keeps me playing well. And he reminded himself, I need to get back to all the fundamentals, things that you don't hear in the performance, but that are critical for a good performance. Well, the Christmas is not a performance. But for us to remember some of these very, very basic truths and be reminded again and again about them is not wrong. It's actually healthy for us. When the angels sang that Christmas night, it was the most glorious choir I'm sure that the shepherds had ever, ever heard. And there was cause, there was reason for that great joy. As I come here to Revelation 7, I'm reminded that singing and great joy wrapped around salvation and the story of redemption is something that we will for eternity be singing about. So there is cause and reason. Maybe it's, if I can put it this way, there's my argument for all the music that we do around here. Because I think God wants to hear it. So if you'll, I'm just going to remind you, in Revelation chapter 4, as John gets his first vision of the heavenly courtroom, and in Revelation 4, they're singing of Christ and his creative work. We were made for his pleasure. And they sing of that. In chapter 5, as the elders in particular lead, or the 24 elders, which we, as we see how they're robed and so forth, these are representations of the church age saints, all right? And they sing of redemption. We come here to chapter 7, and we're in the midst of the tribulation period. God in Revelation 7 just had lined out the 144,000 witnesses, and he'd put the seal of God. Now, God was about ready to send some judgment. He said, stop, stop. Let's seal my servants as a sign of protection and care. Now, maybe it's just my warped little brain, all right? But it's like, great. So he's got to select 144,000. What about the rest that are getting saved in the tribulation period? Well, God doesn't forget about them either. And what happens is the great multitude that gets saved through the work of the ministry of, in particular, those 144,000 from the nation of Israel who are bearing witness to the Lamb that sits on the throne and saying, He is real. We are in judgment because of our sin. He is coming back. You better be prepared. All right, this is talking about when he comes back to rule and reign on the earth, not the rapture, right? This is after the rapture. So we're in heaven at this moment. And we have this group. And so, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Did he leave anybody out here? Okay, this is a multitude that have been drawn out of all that are still on the earth, outside of the Jewish nation. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, are your eyes there in verse 10? What's that next word? Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. All right? I think Ron was preaching this morning already, but what an appropriate thing to say, that God and the Lamb are the same, right? They are one. We believe in the Trinity. The Scriptures make it very, very, very clear, all right? And here we have salvation to our God, even to the Lamb that sits on the throne. Now, wait a second. Does he need to be redeemed? No. This is a song of praise. They are exclaiming joy and delight over the reality that they had been redeemed from the wrath of God. And though they had still been on earth during part of the tribulation, and as we'll discover, many of them had been martyred. And here they are before the throne, giving praise to God for their salvation. Thank you, God, for redeeming us. I think we have every cause today, as we stop and remember the great work that God did in the incarnation, to rightly give praise to God. So, because they're going to do it in the future, we better keep doing it now, right? Does that make sense? Let's go back to Luke 2 then. With the reality that we will be singing praises for our salvation for eternity, as even demonstrated there in Revelation 7, may we today give praise to God too. Verse 1, Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph, he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, I understand that I'm not a lady, of course, and I understand that giving birth is pretty taxing. I'm wondering who was in more pain here, Joseph with his taxing or Mary with her coming taxing. Anyways, okay. Bad joke. Okay, there he is. Okay. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We've talked much about some of those details. I'm not going to spend time there today. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The children did such a wonderful job last week in their program picturing this. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were, appropriately so, sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad he said that? We just saw it in Revelation 7. Here we see it again. The birth of Jesus Christ is good news to all people. He's come to redeem us. For, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now even go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, remember we talked about this even last week, made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them, treasured them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What is an appropriate response, a worthwhile response to great joy, the great joy of Christ's coming? Well, I've got four great responses today, and we see them right here in the passage. First of all, it's appropriate for us to sing praise like the angels. You see back there in verse 13, they gave praise, and the word is a word for sing praise. It wasn't some kind of just recitation. It was very melodious, amazingly beautiful. They sang praise to God. And as we saw, they sang in that verse 14, glory to God. God deserves all glory because of what he is doing. On earth, because of what God is doing, there's the offer of great peace, reconciliation. Do you not know Christ as your Savior? You're without peace. Dark, lost in Christ. In his wonderful work of salvation that took place 33 and a half years or so later after this birth, we have in that wonderful work in his resurrection the hope of eternal life. Put your faith and trust in him. That's peace. Being reconciled to God. We saw it last night. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 5. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What an amazing God. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. And then goodwill toward men. We have such favor that God chose to become one of us to be our Savior and our Deliverer. It is appropriate and right for us to sing praises to God. Now, we're running, hastening right today to application. On this point number one, families, church family, are you singing praise to God? I realize that our choir today isn't quite angelic. The ensemble wasn't, the trumpets weren't quite like heavenly trumpets. But they were trying to give praise to God. And I think we're doing a fine job. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you were enthralled with the truth that they were singing. I hope your heart was lifted in praise. Now, how about today in your home? You say, Pastor, you don't know how I sing. I don't care. God wants to hear from you. Now, the spiritual response of a godly believer, the heart response from the Spirit, what is it? Keep your fingers here. Let's run to Ephesians. Join me, would you? Real quick, join me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You say, well, I'm not an angel, so I don't need to sing. Sorry, you're not excluded from giving praise to God. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Many of you can start quoting it with me. Don't, but you know the verse. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay. Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? Speaking in tongues. And that's not what it says in verse 19, okay? Again, no, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, you say, okay, good, there's my out. I can't sing, I'll just sing and make melody in my heart. Sorry, pal. If it's in your heart, it has to come out. You say, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. If it's in there, it's going to come out one way or another. And that's okay. That's good. I have two teenagers that I dearly remember from my youth pastor years, Jamie was one, Sandy was the other. They were good friends. They could play hockey like nobody's business. All right, where I lived, you know, I pastored in Detroit, hockey town, for 15 years. They were in love with the Lord. Jamie, so I'm a musician. I sincerely doubt usually when somebody says I can't sing. They just need some work, all right? You have to put a little bit more effort into it. All right, Jamie can't sing. And Sandy had about three notes. But we had a teen choir, and I would never say no to Jamie and Sandy to sing in the choir. They knew themselves. They knew well. They knew they couldn't sing real well. But they deserved to be in choir because they sang from their heart. The praise was on their face. It was in their words. And I loved to see it as their pastor because I knew they were in love with the Lord because of what was coming out in their song. Oh, God will fine-tune it once they get to glory. But people, may we, like the angels today, sing praise to God because we are redeemed. Now let's run back to Luke 2, all right? Not only should we sing praise like the angels, but now like the shepherds, verse 17 and 18. Let us publish the good news. Verse 17 again, what do we see there? And when they had seen and heard, they made known abroad the saying. They spread the word. They confessed the reality of the salvation of their souls. You see, indicative in the narrative here is the clarity that the shepherds believed. They said, this is our Messiah. And so what do they go on, verse 17? They made known abroad, not what they'd seen in the heavens, not what they'd seen in the manger, but the saying, the truth. They proclaimed the truth. They published the truth. This is the Messiah. He's here. He's come to redeem us. Oh, believer, if you've truly been saved, and you claim to be, and the indications are in your life that you are, well, then why do you keep your mouth shut? Publish. It is wrong for us to not speak the praises of our dear Savior's name to all who will hear. Unashamedly, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone. Why would I not, like the shepherds, want to tell, make known abroad the saying? They wondered at that marvelous sight, the people that heard it. They were amazed, it says there in verse 18. All that heard it wondered at those things which were. It so caught their attention. But this speaks against, all right? We have tracks in our track rack, appropriately so. But it speaks against just handing out flyers everywhere and thinking I've done something good to publish it. Now, thank you for handing out flyers. It's a tool, but it's only a tool. When I interact with a sinner and they hear me publishing the good news, they should, like these people that heard the shepherds, wonder at the saying, this is amazing. What is it about this guy or this lady that gives them cause for great joy? And they tell me about this Savior. What's this Savior? Our world is in desperate need to hear us publishing the good news of Jesus Christ. Look for, create every opportunity you can to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Maybe their hearts will be delighted like yours to come to know the Savior. So the application, let us purposefully, like the shepherds who couldn't help themselves, let us this season, today, I prayed for some of you today that I suspect are gathering with family that you have unsafe family. Is there not a more appropriate day than today? Today's the day of salvation. Would you ask God, would you be courageous enough, bold enough to ask God, God, give me the opportunity and the courage and the wisdom and the love to tell, you know, let me just pick on Aunt Henrietta. She's a stubborn lady. has told me what for several times. Maybe today would be the day to tell her again. And then go with boldness and courage in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the best news. You have the news that she needs. I rejoiced at the beginning of the service because Sylvia's in heaven today. I'm so glad somebody told her about Christ. I'm so glad we're not mourning today because a sinner is in hell for the rest of eternity. Aren't you? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think we have a job to do. May we, like the shepherds, publish abroad the glorious news that Christ is born. Then, like Mary, let's look at verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them. Oh, let's sing praise. Let's publish abroad, but then as well, let us treasure. Let us ponder the wonderful truth. She kept and preserved them. Of all the saints, it seems as though this dear mother had an instinctual ability to grasp and desire to grasp all that God was doing in and through her life and through her son, Jesus Christ. We never are far from Mary being close at hand. In the Gospels, as you walk through his life and ministry, all the way through to the end, where's Mary at the cross? Where's Mary with the disciples waiting for the Spirit of God to come? May we, like Mary, treasure and ponder all that God is giving us in His Son. So that means I need to study and learn. I need to know God's Word. My brain, my flesh is kind of corrupted from my sin. It may not come easy, but the reality is I should ponder and treasure everything that I can learn from God's Word. Moms and dads here today, maybe an application. Your kids won't come to know about the wonder of Jesus Christ unless you tell them. And they won't know and understand how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ unless you show them. May we, like Mary, think much and then talk much of God and of His Word in our home. Now, how do I know that Mary knew Scripture so well? Well, remember the great Magnificat, her great song of praise to God from chapter 1. You probably don't even have to turn a page in your Bible. Look at verse 54 of chapter 1. So she's concluding her song, and she quotes Scripture. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She's running all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and remembering that in the birth, at this moment in Luke 1, the coming birth of her son, God was keeping his word. Now, one day, I'm going to meet Mary's parents in heaven. I anticipate so. How do I know? Because she knew the Word of God so well. I'm sure she got taught it in her home. All right. Now, maybe she got saved a little later in life. If she was an old lady, Ron. All right, there you go. My sense is, though, no. All right. I think God appropriately used the word virgin, both because she was a virgin and because she was young. Anyways, there you go. Now we're going to have an argument after church. Anyways, that's so if it's true that Mary was young, more than likely she had godly parents who in their home pondered, treasured God's word. And they had the Old Testament, not the New Testament. How much of Scripture did Mary have memorized? A lot of it, yes. You know what? She didn't have a scroll in her home, more than likely. It was down at the local synagogue. And they'd once a week get together, roll up the scroll with great anticipation. I want to hear from God today. And the elder would read the scriptures. The boys that were going through bar mitzvah would quote the scriptures. scriptures were that dear to them. It was a treasure. We have it in our laps. We have it on our iPads. We have it on our computer. We put it on our wall, and we think we're good. May we treasure God's word like Mary and help the next generation to know it and know it well. If I'm ever a good father to Drew and Dory, it's because I've helped them learn and know God's word thoroughly. One day, and for them it'll probably be sooner than later than most, I'm going to be off the scene. If God tarries, and Drew and Dory need to stand on their own two feet spiritually. Oh, Mom will be around for a while, but she wasn't a young chick when she had those kids, all right? There you go. All right? And so she'll be gone one day too. And if Drew and Dory don't know God's word, they're going to fall. So maybe today I better treasure it in my home, right? May God help us. Finally today. Yes, finally. It's a long point. No. Sing praise. Publish. Ponder. And we're going to come full circle back to the shepherds again. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned. They had published well. The people were amazed. Mary had pondered. The angels had sung. And now the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I just simply put it, praise. Praise God. They magnified and glorified God in their lives. They were just back with the sheep. They had all seen. They had all testified. It was just them again. Back to the normal routine. And yet, something changed. Something was glorious there. No one heard it except the sheep, and maybe they just went, bleh. And it didn't matter to them. They were giving praise to God. They couldn't help praise God for their redemption. And yes, they gave praise. That sings praise. This is an amazing demonstration of their utter commitment to the God who had just redeemed their souls, and they had just seen their Savior. And so even the sheep heard their glory to God. Do you love God so much that you just have to glorify Him all the time? Now the reality is, I'm afraid most of us don't, do we? What comes easy to our lips and to our thoughts and minds, we're usually complaining about something. It's too cold. It's too hot. You know, the car broke down again. And we seem to be so consumed with this life on earth. And that shouldn't be that way. So we're celebrating Christmas today. May you not forget the birth of your Savior tomorrow. You know Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? You've got eternity for your home? Christ, by the Spirit, is indwelling you? You've been given the written word, and we, in great blessing to God, were born in this country. You're sitting here in a quiet, peaceful place. Warm place in the midst of winter. I suspect all of you are going to go home and eat today. Looks like many of you have eaten well over a lifetime. That's okay. That's wonderful. We have so many blessings. Can I not just always praise God? Even the sheep heard the praise of the shepherds. And the sheep didn't know better. And so among themselves, they kept the fire of the truth burning as a group of shepherds. I don't know about you, but I want to know the rest of the story when I get to heaven one day. So, shepherds, you went to town the next day. Who did you tell then? What did you happen to write a new song on your flute? Did you praise God, shepherds, the rest of your life? I don't have the answers to those questions, but I do have an answer for this soul. I know that I need to be praising God tomorrow, the next day, for the rest of my life, because I've been redeemed, because Christ came, God with us, redeemed my soul, not because of who I am, but because of who He is, paid the price for my sin. I, by faith, accepted it. What more can I do but to sing praise, to publish, to ponder, and to tell anybody about my dear Savior, to praise His name, even if it's just to Quincy at my house? May praise be always on my lips because of what we celebrate today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us, Your goodness in redemption. Thank You for showing us how to live. Thank You for the sweet example of the shepherds, the glorious song of the angels, the deep thinking of Mary. May You help us, Lord, please, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. May You help us to follow their example. Lord, there may be someone here today who does not yet know You as their Savior. We've tried and best we can. We've read the Scriptures, which is most important. May the Spirit of God take the truth of God and bring conviction to their heart. And may today they come to trust this One who was born so many years ago, becoming flesh so that He could redeem us. May they trust Him as their Savior from their sin. Lord, as believers, we have so much to praise You for. May it never be far from our lips. Lord, arrest even my soul when in a moment of frustration or complaint or self-centeredness, I forget what You've done for me. And may by Your Spirit, You bring conviction to my heart, and may the words of praise be caught on my lips quickly again. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, how is your praise today? How is your publishing? How is your song? How are your thoughts? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, God's word has brought some challenge to my heart, and there's an area I want to bring praise to my Lord better than I'm doing right now. And with the Lord's help, I want to grow in my praise, in my publishing, in my pondering. Could I pray for you right now? I say, Pastor, that's my need today. Would you pray for me? Yes. Several hands in the air. So, amen. Amen. May God help us. Amen. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't know Him yet as your Savior. Could I pray for you right now? My prayer doesn't save you. Your faith in Jesus Christ alone will. Maybe today I could pray for you and we could talk to you afterwards. That would be a delightful thing. You'd say, Pastor, that's my need today. I'm not saved, but I'd like to come to know Christ as my Savior. Anyone at all, quietly raise their hand and I can just pray for you. No one's looking about. We're not trying to embarrass. Just want to be a help. You say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone at all? Lord, thank You for coming to be our Savior. Help us, Lord, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing Your praise, to always have it on our lips, to tell others the glorious news of what we know and have heard. May we ponder it in our hearts. Make this a blessed Christmas for each of us today. It's in Your precious name we pray.